This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Mac, have you got someone on the phone?
We have. So we're speaking to a lot of people today, and people that have given us the time during the year, generously given us their time, and also people that have been very supportive of Joy. And our next guest is the local member for Albert Park. He also happens to be the Victorian Minister for Health and also the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Macca. Good morning, Paul. And Merry Christmas to you all and all your listeners.
And look, thank you for
Martin,
for giving us some time today. But also, I want to say, and people say this is political, it's not. I want to thank you as, you know, your role as Minister for Health and Minister for Equality. First off, with Minister for Health, I don't know how you do that job, to be honest, Martin. I'd tear what's left of my hair out. And Minister for Equality, all the wonderful things that you've achieved for the Victorian community. It's been a tough year, I know. What are you doing to relax today?
Thanks, Macca. And it has been a very challenging year for all Victorians. And today, I'm hoping to take it easy. Having seen the report for the morning, that's chugging along as we've been in space for a few days, so I'm tending to go to my cousins, the two Fionas, and we're going to celebrate Christmas as a family. So
fantastic, fantastic. What has been, Martin, for you? You know, obviously COVID has been has been the biggest challenge I think Australian governments have faced in a very, very long time. Has there been a moment that perhaps has not blindsided you, but it's one of those OMG moments that you've just thought, I really wasn't expecting that or that, you know, something like that. Is there something that really, I mean, how much time do we have?
How many would you like?
Yeah, I was going to say, we've only got a short amount of time, Macca.
look, so many, a lot on the negative side, but I've got to say, given the day it is and the time of year, some of the things that have blindsided me on the upside have just been the unbelievable contribution of our frontline healthcare workers, from AMBOs, from EDs, from the call takers, across the whole kind of ecology. Like, you work a double shift or sometimes a triple shift in full PPE. You're not allowed to take a break. You're not allowed to take water in these things. You've got to don and doff under these strict protocols. To do that and then have to deal sometimes with COVID deniers and arrangements where people are shocked that something that they've convinced themselves isn't real is real and they've got it or their loved one's got it, and to stay calm and to stay measured and to hear their stories about how they deal with that. Yeah. They're the kind of things you kind of know, but when you hear them and talk to the individuals concerned, that really does kind of put it all in perspective. You do the policy stuff, you run around trying to get the frameworks in place, but those people out there dealing with that day in, day out, that's what sits you up straight sometimes and thinks, well, you know, I've got nothing to complain about. It's these people who are genuinely keeping us safe under the most extraordinary of difficult circumstances.
Martin, we had Josh Burns on earlier, and we were talking about like a collective
national fatigue. And how do these frontline workers manage to keep their stamina going? Because I think, you know, it's a phenomenal result that they've managed to keep, you know, the majority of us alive and going with the vaccination program and all of the frontline work. But how are you seeing that their welfare at the moment?
Well, I am concerned. The levels of absenteeism, the levels of fatigue, the levels of stress, they're all going through the roof, but they keep coming back. That's the thing. There is something about the notion of service, of commitment to each other. That's the spirit de corps amongst healthcare workers is extraordinary, but more broadly, it kind of just fits this notion of what a caring society looks like. This is the greatest public health crisis in 100 years. And the fact that, relatively speaking, we've done pretty okay as a nation is down to them. It's not down to politicians. It's not down to the policy responses. It's those people who have, against so many odds, just battled through. And you're right, Paul. There is a collective fatigue 2 years into this. Everyone wants it to be over. But it's not. We've got, you know, the Omicron variant came along to muck up our collective Christmases. Things were looking good, but that's okay. We'll get through it. I'm not sure how, but there's enough commitment, resources, and like I say, the unbelievable solidarity and effort of those healthcare workers. That's what sits me up straight every time I hear some of these really powerful stories from the front.
I think we totally agree with that, Martin. And another question for you. I mean, as a minister, there's obviously very little downtime. You're quite a busy individual. But what does that mean in terms of you as a minister and you're working Christmas? Do you actually get briefings daily? Do you actually get a time to switch off completely? Or is your mobile always on waiting for the next call to come in if it has to?
Well, 2 years in, there's a bit of a system and a bit of a routine, but yes, there are daily briefings because you just have to be on top of things, particularly with hospital capacities and just, you know, what's Omicron going to do to our healthcare system. We're actually trying to give our frontline healthcare workers a bit of a break over the next 2 weeks and roster things down a bit, but, you know, I know they'll do the best. So every day there's that bit of a routine, but I hope that today and perhaps tomorrow, we can keep it a little bit down low. So not just the likes of me, but more importantly, for the next week or so, those healthcare workers can just ease up a bit before we have to crank up for increased testing. The arrangements that are now going to be in place from the 4th of January about third dose program. 578,000 5 to 11-year-olds need to get vaccinated starting the 10th of January. And, you know, the relative unknown, but we hope not catastrophic impact that Omicron will have on our healthcare system. We know it's going to be very infectious. We know a lot more people are going to get it. But what we want to make sure is that we hope that that's as mild as possible and that people minimise that by getting vaccinated, by following the social distancing rules, and if they do get it, to support each other and hopefully get through it very quickly.
Yeah. Well, lots of us, you know, I'm looking forward to my booster shot on the 11th of January, and I know a lot of other people have booked in for those. I think it's a positive thing. I wanted Martin to also touch on the equality portfolio. I'm sure you remember that it was actually, let me have a look here, it was the 12th of June 2001 that the Statute Law Amendment Relationships Act 2001 was given royal assent. That's 20 years and 6 months since the really significant reform of policy, equality policy and anti-discrimination policy. It's been a good year, despite a few, I suppose, attempts at roadblocks on the way. It's been a good year for equality in Victoria.
It has. there's every year since that time, 21 years ago, we've seen the endless contribution of leaders and each new generation of LGBTIQ activists coming and pointing out that there's always another hill to cross. Mm. And this year, particularly the conversion, so-called conversion therapy moves, a whole range of other legislative programs, and just the continued organisation and voice of LGBTIQ plus communities about nothing with us, about us without us, and leading from the front has been extraordinary, and I think it's been came together very nicely back in May when the Pride Centre was open, when we had that little glimpse of normality there for a little while. But that to me goes down as personally the most significant day of the past 12 months. Generations of activism, of organisation coming together in an organisational community hub that, yes, is a great, fantastic place in which LGBTIQ plus Victorians can see as their own, but from it radiating out so much support, organisation capacity, reaffirmation of it's good and safe to be who you are and to be proud of it, and to organise for the next set of issues that the community needs to continue to pursue. And speeches that day, particularly the chair of the Pride Centre, contribution, like, wow.
It was.
That's one impressive person.
Blew us away. Well, I've never felt more equal or more a part of the Victorian community in my long life than I do this year. And some of that legislation is really, really it's all significant, but I want to thank you as the Minister for Equality and, you know, also Harriet Shing, who we're going to be speaking with shortly, and every other, you know, member of Parliament who supported that, and all the people who've lobbied hard. The part that was most precious to me, Martin, was where institutions that receive state funding, I won't be subsidising as a taxpayer for people to be discriminated against. That, to me, is something I've been passionate about, as you know, for a very long time.
Yep.
So thank you.
Yep.
But all that legislation, it makes Victoria a better place. It makes Christmas Day a more equal place for all of us.
It does.
So thank you.
Thank you. And can I just take this opportunity to say that without Joy, without the Pride Centre, so much of what has been achieved, there wouldn't be the forum in which the issues around that would be worked out, thrashed out. The push towards making sure that LGBTIQ plus community politics is not owned by one political party or the other, and that it's a mainstream, centrist, sensible policy that if you want to be successful in Victoria, you must address these set of issues. To me, the contribution that Joy and that MAG in particular makes to that has enabled the kind of environment of achievement that you've been kind enough to point to, Macca. Do not underestimate how important that work that you and all the Joy crew do in making sure that politics takes account of LGBTIQ plus community, and more importantly, that politics is from the community. I cannot underestimate how influential Joy is in shaping those outcomes.
Well, thank you for that, Martin. That's very gracious of you and generous. It is, you know, it's an effort of everyone in the community. We provide one of the platforms. We're certainly passionate about what we do. We're so proud to be in the Pride Centre. You know, Joy's been on air 28 years, and I think what we do is really important, and particularly a day like today, where so many people may not have any company today, and I hope that we're providing some of that company. I have to tone down my language because I don't want to upset people on this day.
Yeah.
But
today's a unifying day.
It
you're
is.
You're right. Whether people are isolated socially, whether they're isolated because of their gender or their sexuality, or they're isolated because they're isolated because of COVID, there are still a lot of issues out there. But it's also a day of reflection for the achievements that we've made, whilst redoubling our resolve to press on for all those significant things that we still have to achieve to make a decent, civilised, equal society, particularly for our LGBTIQ plus community.
Thank you. Final word, Martin. What would you like for 2022? I can have a guess, but how about...
the Treasurer sent me this link to a some US website that says that the US industrial complex military machine is working on this one super vax that will knock over flu and all COVID. That's what I want for 2022.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Now, what would be even better is that with the announcement of mRNA vaccine manufacturing in Victoria, we actually make it here in Victoria.
Yeah, even better. Even better.
Great.
Martin, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Macca, and Merry Christmas and a safe and successful 22 to all the community at Joy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Martin.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.